Go ahead and open to Psalm 1. We started a couple weeks ago in this psalm, and I talked about how we are going to be trying to slow down a little bit this year. Not try to see how much ground we can cover and resist the urge to explain huge chunks of text with one little idea, which I know I'm prone to want to do. And we're going to try to spend our time being a little more planted in one place. So a couple weeks ago, last week was a little weird with the icy roads, and there's a few of us that met over in this corner, and we just did an abbreviated thing. But we're picking up on Psalm 1 today. A couple weeks ago, we looked at primarily verse 3. All right, I said get your Bibles out. I'm going to put the text right up there. We looked mostly at verse 3 and the idea of the tree planted by streams of water. And we talked a lot about botany, probably too much. Had a big extended metaphor about how trees grow and what a healthy tree looks like, and this idea of being planted next to the water, about what it looks like in a righteous life to stand firm, and even if it means things go slowly, even if it means we wait for the fruit to be in season, and we wait for slow growth, it also means we're not withering at the first sign of trouble. We talked about this idea in verse 3 of being planted. Today we're going to keep going on this and look at the flip side. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 1, and then we'll dig into the verses that we're going to focus on. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And we're going to talk about not so the wicked today. This probably has nothing to do with anything, but it keeps popping into my head. And the longer we spend time in Psalm 1, just the chances increase that I'm going to tell this story. So might as well put it here. Many of you might be familiar with the Lads to Leaders program. You teach kids to take leadership positions in church. And we go down to convention every year. We did it in Nashville when my siblings and I were doing it. And we did Bible reading. You would pick a text, and you'd practice, and you'd work on your enthusiastic reading and all kinds of things like that. And one year, my sister was doing Psalm 1. And anytime I read Psalm 1, verse 4, I hear my little sister's voice, because she was being taught to do enthusiastic reading, and she just, as a kid, you don't know really where to emphasize. You just learn, you emphasize. And so she'd read, I can just hear, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. And I just always thought it was weird. And then she had her own strange observation. Remember, this was in Nashville, Opryland Hotel. And when she was done, came out and asked how did it go, and she said, I was the only girl there who didn't say heaven. She said heaven. Everybody else said heaven. There. set that aside. That has nothing to do with anything today, but it kept, now I have it in my head, do I need to work the story in? There's my Psalm 1 memory that's with me. We can actually talk about this stuff now. In the bulletin, the definition there of chaff. You probably have an idea of what that is, just in case, because it's one of those words you don't hear in a lot of contexts. When you are harvesting grain and you want to use it for something, you can't use the whole plant. Right? You need to work off some of that outer covering. And maybe you've experienced if that doesn't happen. I don't know if you ever had a bowl of oatmeal with a little piece of the hull. It's on your spoon, and you know that it's there. You can tell the difference. You gotta pick it out. Put it on a napkin, not flick it across the room. I don't know why I did that. I never do that. This part of the grain that has to go in order to get to the good stuff. And so you take it to a threshing floor, and you would thresh the grain. I don't know if it looks like that. But you would take off this outer covering, this hull, and then once that's off, and it's just down on the ground, it has a new name. It's chaff. Not good for anything. Every now and then you got to sweep it out, clear it out. And that's the image that Psalm 1 uses for the wicked. We had, for the righteous, we have the tree that stands firm, that does not wither and prospers, and it grows its fruit when it's supposed to grow its fruit, and is strengthened by the streams of water. And the wicked very much are the opposite. We're still talking botany. We're still talking about plants. Because it's just this leftover stuff there's not much use for. And as soon as the wind comes, it's gone. And it says it's going to be that way for the wicked when they stand in judgment. It's going to be that way for sinners when they try to be among righteous. When you read this psalm, which group do you associate yourself with? Are you the tree in verse 3 or the chaff in verse 4? I hope everybody is identifying with the righteous, see themselves as the tree. Who do you think of when you get to verse 4? What do you think this is talking about? Who is the wicked? I don't want anybody calling out any names. I didn't see any glances around the room, so we're in good shape. But when it talks about the righteous and the wicked, verse 5 contains a couple words that I don't always think of in the same way. Now, we've talked about poetry in the Psalms, especially the Psalms, not just the Psalms, but we've talked about this parallel poetry, or step parallelism, that a lot of Hebrew writing uses. And verse 5 seems to be doing the same sort of thing, where it makes two statements using usually synonyms, usually the same idea, two statements that say approximately the same thing to emphasize that idea. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now, I recognize that as this step parallelism, but I don't always think of wicked and sinners in the same way. How many in here would identify yourself as wicked? Okay, I expected that. How many in here would identify yourself as sinners? That's kind of what I thought, too. And And I was thinking about this verse and this image of we have the tree and we have the chaff. And we say, who's the chaff? Well, we just identified that it's somewhere in between all of us and none of us. Two words there. None of us think of ourselves as wicked. We all kind of recognize that we're sinners. So what do we do with this? I spent some time looking at this idea of wickedness in the Bible, especially as we see it in wisdom portions in the Bible, because Psalm 1 is considered a wisdom psalm. It's kind of a crossover between the wisdom genre and the poetry genre. Wickedness is talked about a lot. But it might not be who you think of. Maybe it is. Maybe you're ahead of me. Some places in the Bible really focus on the idea of wickedness. The Proverbs is more wisdom with literature. It talks a lot about the wicked. You have the righteous and the wicked there. It talks about the righteous who are doing the things, seeking after God, and they're the ones who are blessed. And the wicked, on the other side, the ones who are unrighteous, the ones who are missing out, the ones who get, I don't know if you call them punishments, but they miss out on a lot of things in the Proverbs. But really, that distinction doesn't help a whole lot, because that's pretty much the same way Psalm 1 is looking at it. The next book that really gets into this idea is the book of Job. There's a lot of discussion of wickedness. And those discussions between Job and his friends, that, you know, when you get into Job, you think of it as a nice short story, and then you open it up and you see 40 chapters. And so you read chapter 1 and 2 with all the narrative, and the friends come in, and you say, the friends are here. And then you turn over to chapter 39, and the discussion with God, and the conclusion. But if we stop and slow down in those chapters that we kind of say, and they said a bunch of stuff over and over again, they are very concerned about this idea of wickedness. And the question is Job wicked? His friends are saying, there must be wickedness here. You must be doing something wicked. And he's saying, I know, I understand wickedness, and that's not me. And it seems strange for this group of faithful individuals, because as much as we want to criticize the friends, they're speaking Proverbs mostly. They are trying to speak in the language of faithfulness. They are trying to be the people of God in this conversation, and so is Job. And so we have this group of faithful people talking about, is one of them wicked? And if you look around in the rest of the Bible, especially the Old Testament, usually when we see this word wicked, it's an in-house discussion. Only sometimes are they talking about the fallen outsiders. When they're talking about wickedness, they're not talking about the Edomites and the Shechemites and all those various ites who seem to be trying to tear down Israel, tear down God's people. When they talk about wickedness, they're talking about what do we see inside this group, and that starts to get a little uncomfortable. Because we're okay saying, yeah, I'm a sinner, I mess up, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm willing to go out on a limb and admit that I am not a perfect person. So you can call me a sinner. But it's uncomfortable to be talking anywhere around that idea of wickedness, isn't it? In the Bible, in Job, in the prophets, in the wisdom literature, in the Psalms, wickedness is something God's people are told to look out for. They're told to be very, very cautious. because there are wicked ones, and because it is so easy to find yourself among them. The Psalms is a very long book, very large collection of the worship material for early Israel. And where do they start? Don't walk in the steps of the wicked. And that's not this writer saying, be careful when you vacation in Babylon. That's saying, be careful when you step out your door. Or maybe step out of your bed. The more that we see this discussion of wickedness and not being cast in this picture of evil, but being cast in this picture of those who are going the other direction from God's direction. The more we see that wickedness doesn't mean, you know, those who are persecuting others, but those who know what God wants of them and do the other instead. I think the more wisdom we can find in these warnings. Now, the wicked here and elsewhere in the Bible aren't the evil foreigners with those awful foreign gods who are plotting our demise. Those are the ones that they're not supposed to know any better. Right? When it talks about the nations, it doesn't talk about them in that way. It talks about wicked. It's talking about the ones who are supposed to know better. If you're looking for the wicked, as Psalm 1 talks about the wicked, you check your neighbor, you check your brother, your aunt, your preacher. You look around at the people that are supposed to know. When we are told to be on guard and to look out, when we understand the perspective of this, it's not saying to be on guard against the wicked because they might kill you. Those aren't the wicked. The wicked aren't the ones coming in and shooting up churches. There's a different name for that. That's a different category. Don't worry about the wicked because they might kill you. You be on guard against the wicked because they're the ones, they want to help you. They want to teach you. They want to show you how to get those things that you want. They want to show you what you should be wanting. They want to educate you on how to play the game, right? Work the system. Just doing what everybody else would do. Those are the things that we need to be alert about and run the other direction. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Now, how do you walk in step with the wicked? It's not by plotting the demise of the righteous. It's not by cursing God's name or rejecting the church. It's by wandering from where you were planted. It's by losing sight of the water that sustains us and following after those things that will not sustain. It says the righteous one knows where to be, knows where to draw that power, that energy, that growth from. The wicked is looking someplace else. And when you are walking in the ways of the wicked, maybe no one will notice. You're not one of those people, right? We've talked about those people. Those people are the worst. Whoever those people are. And They, right? They are the worst. No one ever says anything nice about they. So we didn't, it might not even get noticed because you're not the they that we're worried about. And you might not even notice yourself either. After all the things seem to be working out. When you chase after other things, things can work out. Until the wind blows. The wind reveals the truth. The wind will show if a tree's got good roots. You get a strong wind, the chaff doesn't have a chance. But the tree that's planted firmly will stand. So when we look at, are you righteous or are you wicked? We can't lose sight of that image. Are you planted like the tree next to life-giving water, or are you chaff? It was once a part of a healthy plant, and now it's just a husk, dried out. When the wind blows, we'll know. Ever known somebody with all the answers until things get tough? The wind will reveal the truth. Malachi chapter 3 talks about this kind of idea. I know we're trying to stay planted in our psalm, but Malachi 3 talks about a very similar idea. You know, this is towards the end of the Old Testament. Excuse me. Malachi is during the Second Temple period, probably the latest time period written about in the Old Testament. And this is the second to last chapter. And it's talking about when judgment comes. And talking about when the wicked fall away. And it talks about a remnant that will stand. A theology we've talked about before. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. And then God says, on the day when I act, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as my father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. So the wind is going to blow. And the people who are planted solid, the people who understand the Word of God, the people who understand the will of God, the people who know that we draw everything we need from the water of God, don't have to worry about that day. But you'll see, and we'll find out. And I don't intend this lesson to scare anybody. I'm not trying to say you better rethink your ways. But this psalm says you better be careful. Israel's book of praise starts off by saying, be so careful. Because the people that are going to lead you into trouble aren't far away in some distant land. They're the people you might find yourself walking with. Be careful where you're going. Be careful what you're doing and where you find your strength. Because you're going to see eventually. Wind's going to blow. Whether it's trials and hard things in this life or if it's in the end with the judgment. This is a hopeful psalm. This says that we have been given what we need. It says the water's there. It says that we know what to do. And if we are careful, and if we keep our eyes open, and if we stay focused on what we need to focus, it is very possible. So this is hopeful. But it has that undercurrent of warning. So we're going to look one more week at Psalm 1. We're going to kind of look at this kind of the overall idea of this beginning of wisdom in the Psalms. But I think we need that image of the tree that we talked about 2 weeks ago and the chaff today. There's a big difference, and it matters. For this morning, if there's anything you need, if you need to stand up and say, I need to walk with somebody that can help me, can I have some prayers? If you need the strength that comes from God, hey, we got water. If you need to respond and say, I have not yet been planted in baptism, and I need that. I need that connection to God. No better time. If there's anything you need this morning, we want to hear about it. This is family time. And if there's anything you need to bring to the family, let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing.
Why do you fade, dear brother? Oh, why do you...